Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities, and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the morning services. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Thank you, Stu and the band. Great to worship our Lord Jesus. Before John comes up to preach, let me now invite Jan up for our first reading from the book of Exodus, and Sean for our second reading from Paul's letter to the Colossians.
You thought it best for me not to scale the heights. Exodus 31, starting at verse 1. Thou, the Lord, said to Moses, See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability and knowledge, and all kinds of crafts to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, to work in stones and to seek to engage in all kinds of crafts, wood and, this is the same word.
All right. Moreover, I have appointed Oholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given ability to all the skilled workers to make everything I have commanded you, the tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony with the atonement cover on it, and all the other furnishings of the tent, the table and its articles, the pure gold lampstand and all its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, the basin with its stand, and also the woven garments, both the sacred garments for Aaron the priest and the garments for his sons when they serve as priests, and the anointing oil and fragrant incense for the holy place. They are to make them just as I commanded you.
The best for God.
Amen. And Sean is going to come up for our second reading. Just go there.
The second reading is taken from Colossians chapter 3, verses 17 and verse 23 to Colossians 4, verse 1, which can be found on page 1194 in the Pew Bibles. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Those who do wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Jan. Thank you, Dima. Lovely, elegant kind of passing of the baton at the moment that the story actually talked about someone helping. So thank you so much for that visible representation. Today is the Oxford and Cambridge boat race. And it always, when it comes around each year, it gets me back to thinking about the time when I was keen on rowing. And when I was about 18, I was keener on rowing really than anything else in the world. And I started my first term at university early so that I could join the rowing team. At the same time, I was meeting up with an older Christian to read the Bible each week. And he noticed my obsession. And one day he said to me, John, do you think you should give up your rowing? Now, as far as I was concerned, that was a very stupid idea. Very, very strange, crazy idea. But then I thought about it a bit more, and I began to really feel the edge of it. Perhaps that was what the Lord was asking me. I mean, rowing was kind of an idol. It basically occupied all my waking thoughts. All I thought about was success and failure, going backwards, holding an oar. Perhaps following Christ would mean ditching my rowing. Then he said, okay, if not, how will you do your rowing for Jesus? And though I would have called myself a Christian for a while by that stage, it was really the first time I had ever grappled with the idea that God had an interest in whatever I do. Before long, I was connected with this organization called Christians in Sport. And actually, I learned a huge amount for the whole of life from them. Just around this one basic idea, whatever we do as Christians, whatever we do, it is to be for Christ. Now, today is, of course, Palm Sunday. It's a day we remember the crowds honoring Jesus as Lord. It's a wonderful picture, really, of people putting him in his rightful place in their minds and hearts. We also remember this week how the week goes on and how by the end of the week, by Good Friday, most of those people in the crowds were nowhere to be seen. And it reminds us of the real challenge here. How do we keep Jesus central? How do we keep Jesus central to the whole of life? It's all very well to say we're all about Jesus when we're all gathered here on a Sunday morning. But what about tomorrow morning at the same time? How will you do your paid work, your career, or being a granny, or caring for a relative who's unwell, or running a business, or temping, or getting married, or applying for a visa, or even dealing with some really significant health limitation that basically takes up all of your time? Whatever it is you're doing, this time tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, in general, whatever is like the front line of your day-to-day, how will you do that thing for him? So, to that end, we thought that although we've concluded our series on the book of Colossians last week, we've added one more bonus sermon in this week, and we want to go back to camp out a little bit longer on that famous verse from Colossians 3:17 you've just heard read. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And I'm going to build on the excellent work that John Featherston did on this 2 weeks ago. You can catch up on that online if you missed it. My hope and prayer today is that as we look again at this verse, we're going to be inspired, if we're not already, to see our front line as a place of ministry. That is our workplace or our home or our school or whatever else as a place of ministry. And then it's going to help us imagine further what it means to be there and do whatever we're doing there in Jesus' name. Format's a little bit different this morning. I'm going to speak briefly, and then we're going to have four little snapshot interviews from people thinking through what it means practically to do their work in Jesus' name. So let's get straight in. I've got 2 points. Number one is whatever you do. Number two is do it for him. Whatever you do, do it for him. First of all, whatever you do. And whatever you do, Paul says, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Think about this statement. God is interested in everything that you do. God is interested in everything that you do. He really is. He does have an interest in this churchy stuff. And actually the verse before this in Colossians is all about the message of Christ, singing together, teaching one another. But he is also interested in a great deal more. He is interested in all of it. Not just because he's got 10 commandments, you know, one of them says don't lie, so he's looking out what you're doing when you're filling in the form. He doesn't really care about the form, but, you know, he's just making sure that you don't lie because he would be bothered about that. No, he's bothered about the whole. All human activity, word and deed, theoretical and practical, can be done for the Lord. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You may be wondering why we had that Old Testament reading earlier. All this stuff about strange names and details of how they're building the tabernacle and so forth. Well, it's to illustrate this very point. God took an immense interest in the finer detail of the construction of the tabernacle, down to the different substances that we used, the craftsmanship that needed to be done. So everything can be done in Jesus' name. A nappy can be changed in Jesus' name. A spreadsheet can be written in Jesus' name. A payment can be processed in Jesus' name. A house can be decorated in Jesus' name. An operation can be anticipated and undergone, apart from the bit when you're kind of out cold, in Jesus' name. And probably even then, tell the surgeon. A game of tennis can be played in Jesus' name. A physics class can be taught and indeed sat through in Jesus' name. A person can be hired. A person can be fired in Jesus' name. Whatever we do, which of course also includes the things that we don't choose to do, but we have to do. The next bit, chapter 3, verse 23, talks to slaves. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Slaves, by definition, didn't choose their way of life. And yet Paul says to them, even you, even in the mundane, the awkward, the painful, the unwelcome, you can do that in Jesus' name. Every part of our lives is a canvas on which our relationship with the Lord is written. Okay, I don't know whether this illustration is going to work. Hopefully it does. Think of this a little bit like those greetings cards. Now, if you're in a big workplace, you may have been particularly unlucky sometime to have been the recipient of a completely non-personalized card. You know, your name on the top, and you open it up, and you get it out, and it just says season's greetings or something like that. The rest of it is white space. The next level up after that, you just get the signature. Season's greetings, Christopher. You know, it looks the same as another 127 cards that have been sent out in the workplace, but at least it made the effort to put his name on it. Perhaps the next level after that, you get, Dear John, season's greetings, Christopher. Yeah? But of course, there is much more to a greetings card that can be harnessed. I was watching my son write his cousin a card yesterday, and I was reminded how many dimensions you can engage with. You can write a little note underneath the printed greeting on the right-hand side, or next level up, you can fill the left-hand side with all the writing as well. And some people go over the other side and put something there. Other people start coloring the front or like cutting it out and things like that. My mum always draws things. She'll get a pencil, beautiful coloring pencils out and draw something, a doodle or a kind of thoughtful drawing. Imagine your life as a greeting card. And perhaps when you first start out in the Christian life, you just kind of address it and sign it. Dear God, here's me, Bob. Right? And there's a whole load of white space that you don't really think has got anything to do with your relationship with God. And so there you go, you give it to him. As life goes on, you begin to realize that this greeting card, the greeting card of your life, can be filled in with your attitude to God all over it. And so you begin to realize that family is an area where you can actually do something for God. And employment and leisure and health and finances, every part of the card of your life can be covered with thoughtful engagement, all directed in the service of the Lord. So when the Lord takes you, as it were, and looks at you, every part of you is for him. So I wonder, what is your front line? Where will you be this time tomorrow? Have a think about it. Think yourself right into it, 10:59 tomorrow. Do Do you realize that is your ministry? That is the ministry you have from the Lord. How will you do it for him? Okay, well, that leads us to our second point. Whatever you do, do it for him. What does doing it for him actually look like? Well, we got a chance to hear some people wrestle with that question a little bit more in a moment. But just a couple of thoughts here from Paul. First, whatever we do it to please Jesus. To do it in the name of Jesus means to do it to please him. Verse 23, Paul says, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. I'm not very good at this. I know some of you already are. But here's an idea. Can you begin your working day, whenever it starts, work in the broader sense, with a short prayer? You know, if you drive a truck, sit down, pray. Lord, you are present with me here. I give you this day. Everything I will accomplish it, it is for you. We do our work to please him. And by the way, that's just such a great thing, isn't it? Because you may have a really rotten boss who is never pleased with what you do, or customers who are never pleased. But we can please the Lord when he's our master. He's a fair and just master, a wonderful one to serve. So we do it to please him. That means to do it in Jesus' name, means to please him. Secondly, whatever we do it as he would. To do something in Jesus' name means to do it as he would. Bezalel, the tabernacle maker, we've just been reading about him. We're told he was filled with the Spirit of God, and that made him wise and skillful and creative. So that's part of what it's like to do things as God would, to be wise and skillful and creative. Or perhaps the challenge in your workplace is to act with truthfulness like Jesus, including being honest when you make a mistake. I make very many mistakes, so I find this quite difficult. I have to be honest and fess up to it. Or perhaps it's his grace that we need to shape us. You know, perhaps in your workplace or wherever your context is, it's about doing something good that you don't get the credit for. Someone else gets the credit for. Someone else gets a bonus that you don't because you've been generous. Or a gift for a colleague under pressure when, you know, everyone's getting a bit ratty in the office or whatever it is. These things can be such a powerful witness. Because the people we share our workplace, they're going to understand from our actions what kind of a God we serve. But let me say, doing things as Jesus would do it does really require some thinking. And I think some Christians we imagine that we've started the Christian life and we'll just carry on doing what we've done before and we'll just, you know, comply with the professional standards and that's the end of it. But actually, if you're a Christian, you need to seriously think about how you do that thing as Jesus would. So if you're in the medical profession, you need to take seriously the medical ethics. Have you thought about what you're going to be asked to do? And is it in line with what Jesus requires of you? It may be, it may not be. Are you a Christian parent? How are you going to parent your kids differently from just what the world expects? That's going to require some thought. We have to learn to serve God in that way, as he would do it. And then finally, thirdly, to do our work for him is to do our work with his priorities, with Jesus' priorities. When I was a school teacher, it was wonderful. We had a group in the school who would meet on a Monday afternoon to pray for the work in the school. And I had about four or five colleagues who would all turn up each time. They had lots to do. But they would set aside that half an hour to pray. And really, it was that group which encouraged me to think, not just do a good job, but how could we reach students with the gospel? You know, the Lord loves all these students. He's placed us in their lives. How are we going to share the good news with them? How are we going to tell one another and plan with one another and prepare for opportunities? Pray for the kids who are really showing an interest, and our colleagues as well. They were not the priorities of our secular employers. They were Jesus' priorities. And we needed to make time to encourage each other to have his priorities in that place, even as we recognized that we were under authority and needed to recognize that too. So that is to work for him. To work for him is to work to please him, to work as he would do it, and with his priorities. Good. Well, just as we wrap up, I've got four people I'm going to ask up. God's Will, Alice, Roberta, and Johnny. And if you guys come and join me just over here on the left-hand side, that would be fantastic. And as they come up, it's a great privilege, really, to hear from each one of these people. Now, I briefed them all. This is what I'm going to ask them. I'm going to ask them to reflect what it looks like to do their work in the name of Jesus. Now, you don't have exactly the same job that these guys do. But the idea here is that as you hear them think it through, you yourselves would also be inspired to think it through for yourselves. Now, I'm going to start. I might start with Johnny, actually. Let me give that to you. So, Johnny, just tell us a little bit, what is your work involve? Yeah.
So I work for Transport for London, and not in the operations side, like running services, and I'm not a train driver. It's on the project side, so we're sort of building new things, replacing things on the network. And for last year, I've been working on buying some new shiny trams for Croydon. So we're going to buy some new trams and upgrade the power network and the depot and stuff like that. So sort of construction, working with engineers and commercial people. Yeah.
So the new trams are going to say, with love from Johnny.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, lovely. Okay, we're bated breath. Okay, so now tell us, what does it look like to do your work in the name of Jesus?
Yeah, so when I started my career just after uni, I was lucky enough to work with a Christian guy, a management consultancy. And very early on, I could see how he was different. So we're in a meeting, we're bidding for a project, and the commercial director basically told us about some illegal information he could gather for us through bribery that would help us with the bid. And my boss, he was two grades lower than director, but he just shut it down straight away. The whole room just went silent. That was it. We're not taking it on. So very early on, I saw how you can and how you should act in the workplace for Jesus. And that's been a real challenge for me.
Yeah.
To make sure that I am in, you know, act with integrity, didn't hold him back. He became a director at the company. So you often fear that how you act might hold you back. But, you know, that was a case in point that that's not the case. And then the other thing is what I call fishing. So as probably most people do, Monday morning, people say, what do you do at the weekend? If you say, I went to church, not everyone will ask, but it's the easiest thing to do in the world. Mm. And just try and say that and just pick up conversations, just, which I think is quite an easy thing to do Monday morning and just share my faith that way.
Fantastic. We'll come to Alice over here, if we may, next. Now, Alice, what about you? Where do you work?
I work at the Brit School and I'm head of the Visual Arts and Design Department.
Okay, fantastic. So you got a little snapshot, which you share with me, which I just love. Tell us about this, a little bit different. Doing your work in Jesus' name, or in this case, a student. I'll let you explain.
Yeah. So I'm also a Year 13 tutor, and we have sessions where, well, this particular session was on ethics and belief and morals, and I threw out a question to the student. It wasn't mine, but it was that I had to present, which was, is it wrong to steal to feed your family? And so that was discussed by the students, and then I asked for feedback because I'm just a facilitator. I'm not meant to give my views across. And majority of the class said that actually it was okay as long as it wasn't that you didn't do it to any independent stores. You went and did large kind of commercial. and so that was okay. And I was kind of, okay. And I was thinking, oh, no, this is not going right. A lot of them gave me that feedback. They kept on kind of coming back saying similar things. And so I felt quite flat and a little bit lost of kind of where to go next. And luckily, a student caught my eye at the back. And I said, oh, is there anyone that disagrees with that message? And she actually just put her hand up and just said, yeah, I disagree with it, because ultimately stealing is wrong. And there are food banks and there are different ways to go about it. And it was this real kind of moment for me where I was like, okay. And actually no one argued back. It was this really lovely moment where nobody challenged that, and everybody kind of sat in the silence of that. So, yeah, it was a really lovely moment to see
that. And you were saying to me, in a sense, you knew what lay behind this girl's conviction.
Yeah, I knew she was a Christian, and she was willing to put that out there. And it's really brave when you're kind of 17 years old and to kind of say that in front of the whole class.
Yeah.
But they're really kind students as well. So they all kind of listened and didn't challenge it. So it was really great.
Love it, love it. Okay, studying in the name of Jesus. Roberta, I'm going to go to you next. Okay, now, one of the important things, I think, to understand about this, whatever we do, is it's easy to jump into the, we're talking about work here, as in 9 to 5. But actually, whatever we do, of course, is much broader. Roberta, you've done many things in your life. Just give us a sense, what is your front line? What has your work been, or some aspect of it, in these last, most recently? Yeah.
Well, I suppose I'm very nervous, so I have to cheat sheet. I'm sorry. In the last 18 months, it's probably been the most trying part of my life because I've never really had any problems in my life.
Yeah.
I've lived a bit of a charmed life. But I've had challenges and tasks that have been way beyond my ability or my training. And one particular thing that I've had to do is to wind up an established business in 6 months that had been started, grown and prospered over 50 years. And that had to be done without a skipper at the helm.
Yeah. Roberta, just so I can spell it out for everyone else here. So Roberta lost Ray last year, dearly loved member of our congregation. He'd run the business most of the time, and then you were the one who had to wrap it up. Yeah.
Well, first we had to decide what to do with it, whether to wrap it up or to try and sell it. But it was a fairly niche business, so we decided that it had to be wrapped up.
Yeah.
And it was very daunting.
Right. So this is a great example. You know, some of the whatevers that we do are not things that we choose.
Certainly.
They just come to us. What has it meant for you to do it in Jesus' name? And you've got a great little phrase that you gave me earlier.
Well, so to me, to do anything in Jesus' name means that I think we all believe that his name is power. There is power in his name. And power means strength. And strength is what we need when we're in a bind. And with the strength and the power comes guidance. Mm. And if ever I needed strength and guidance, it was at this time. Mm. And I've come to many times when in the morning I've woken and just thought, I'm at the end of my tether, I've hit buffers, I can't do this. Mm. And I've literally turned to God and to the Lord and said, Lord, I can't do this. I simply can't do it, but you can do it. And so it's over to you.
I love it.
And the Lord understands the vernacular. So it was over to him. And the times that he took it on and miracles happened, such as have never happened in my life before.
Fantastic, fantastic. We're going to clap for all of these guys at the end, by the way, because this is epic, isn't it? This is fantastic. Thank you, Roberta. Godswell. Okay, so Godswell, tell us, what job, what work do you do?
Okay, thank you very much. I know the reason why I'm the last person to speak is because my work, the work I do, people will be happy, people will love it.
Okay.
Okay. I'm a civil enforcement officer.
You're a civil enforcement officer. Okay. So for the people who are still wondering what that means, just spell it out for us.
Okay. A civil enforcement officer enforces traffic laws and regulations.
So if I park my car in the wrong place. Yes. Okay. Okay, good. Now, Godswell, this was great. We had a great chat about this. And I said, what does it mean to do your work in Jesus' name? You said, this is a tricky question.
Yes, yes.
Talk me through.
Okay. In the work I do, to do it in the name of Jesus Christ, we go about patrolling streets, Then, you know, sometimes we do things that people are not happy with.
We can't imagine.
Yeah. Imagine, yeah. So sometimes we issue a PCN, penalty charge notice, and somebody will not be happy about that, you know.
Yeah.
But personally, as a Christian, I do my own job in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm. I do my job with a compassionate heart. And speaking with to people, my words come with grace. Mm. Actions come with love. Mm. Praise the Lord.
Mm.
So I move around educating people about traffic regulations so that they will not contravene.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good. Now, listen, I got two things I want you to share with us. The first one is, what's this business about hiding? That you were just telling me. This really helped me.
Okay. Sometimes, you know, some of my colleagues, you know, when they want to observe a vehicle that contravenes, they will just go to a place that's hidden
away
and hide themselves so that the owner of the vehicle will not see them.
Yeah.
But the job is supposed to be done with integrity, and that's why we wear the vest, is shiny vest that, you know, the owner of the vehicle will be afar off and see us and say, oh, I'm here, you know. But because of that, they don't want them to see, the car owner to see them, so they will hide.
Mm-hmm.
So I put up integrity in my job, truth, fairness, justice, you know, in my job. There was a day I saw a car without a valid permit, so I had to lock the vehicle. After 5 minutes, I wanted to issue the ticket, and a voice came to me and said, wait a little while. Maybe somebody, the owner of this car, has an emergency or something. So I had to wait. I was just standing. Before I saw a lady wheeling a senior citizen, a very old man. I said, wait. I said, calm down. So when she came and said, did you issue me a ticket? I said, no. He said, thank you. God bless you. And that is what I want to hear. So I went home. I was very happy. But had he been issued a ticket, I know that the vehicle contravenes, but, you know, wisdom profited.
Yeah.
To direct.
Love it.
Praise
Love
the
it.
Lord.
Thank you so much. Now, hasn't that been a great privilege to hear these guys? Should we just give them a round of applause? Listen, we're going to just, I'm going to ask you to just stay there as just a reminder of four different people. Your stories in many ways are mirrored out here. And we're just going to close with prayer. And so this is a prayer for, that's going to bring in some of the things that we've just been thinking about, but for each of us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do want to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, we find it sometimes difficult to know what that is. And sometimes we know exactly what we should do, and yet still we find it hard. Lord, we thank you that you're a gracious and compassionate God. We pray, Lord, that you would give us insight and courage. And we pray for each of these that we've heard, for Roberta, for Johnny, for Alice, and for God's will, and for the many others like them who are seeking to serve you in their day-to-day. Lord, enable them day-to-day to serve you wholeheartedly, to work not as for human masters, but as for the Lord, and to find in that the strength that only you can supply. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much, guys. Do take a seat.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.